Good morning, sir. What is your name, sir?
Stephen Daniel Otero. Good morning. How are you doing?
Oh, we are doing just great on this beautiful morning as you're ready for your revocation hearing. And let me see who's going to... The Honorable Mr. Neal will serve as the lead for the hearing. So just hold on, sir. Okay. Good morning, sir. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I
did. Okay, would you state your full name and ADC number for the record, please?
Stephen Daniel Otero, 250100.
Thank you, sir. If you're appearing for the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency this morning in reference to your committee supervision revocation, I may introduce the board members that will conduct your hearing at this time. To my left is the Honorable Louis Canones, and then to my far right is the Honorable Mayor Rittenhouse, and then to my direct right is the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who is our board chairman. Also in the room today, we have Mr. Rusty from the Department of Corrections, and he'll also represent the parole office today. Prior to the hearing, you received a notification form advising you of this board hearing. Do you remember that, sir?
Yes.
Well, can I inform you to notify your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense? Did you hire an attorney or are you representing yourself today, sir?
I'm representing myself today, sir.
All right, thank you. So this time I'm going to swear you and Mr. Westby in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or will you so affirm?
Yes.
I do.
Okay. You're going to be having two phases this morning. Sir, phase one, we will determine if the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. And if they've been violated in phase two, we will determine whether the community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. So what I'm going to do in phase one is I'm going to read the three allegations that are on your warrant, sir. After I read each one, I'm going to ask you to tell me whether they're true or false, okay, sir?
Okay.
Allegation number one is a violation of the Arizona condition of supervision number five, as demonstrated by your being in possession of a deadly firearm as a prohibited possessor on or about June 23rd, 2018. Is that true or false, sir?
That's false, sir.
That's false. And allegation number two is a violation of Arizona condition of supervision number five, as demonstrated by your being in possession of a stolen firearm on or about June 21st, 2018, at 1530 North 52nd Drive, Phoenix, Arizona. That one true or false, sir?
That is also false, sir.
Okay. Allegation number three is violation of Arizona condition of supervision number eight, as demonstrated by your association with offender Nicholas Hogworth on or about June 21st, 2018. Is that one true or false, sir?
That one's true, sir.
Okay, thank you. Okay, since you said allegation number one and number two is false, we're going to go to Mr. Westby, and we'll go over allegation number one first, and go from there, okay, sir? Mr. Westby.
On June 11, 2018, Offender Otero, ADC number 250100, read and signed Arizona Conditions of Supervision. For these signed conditions of supervision, Offender Otero, ADC number 250100, was directed to obey all city, county, federal, and tribal laws. According to Phoenix PD, on June 21, 2018, Offender Otero, ADC number 250100, was found to be in possession of a deadly firearm at Motel 6, located at 1530 North 52nd Drive, Phoenix, Arizona, 85043. Approximately 1341 hours, Phoenix PD observed two male suspects later identified as Offender Otero, ADC number 250100, passenger, and convicted felon Nicholas Hayworth, the driver, exit from Red Pontiac Grand Am. After the two subjects walked away from the vehicle, Phoenix police officers were able to complete a records check of the vehicle, which came back stolen. Additional police officers were dispatched to the scene, and the offender, Otero, and Hayworth were detained. A search of the vehicle resulted in the findings of a shotgun in the trunk and stolen Glock 27 handgun under the driver's seat. Both were occupants inside the vehicle, which provided either of them access to the firearms. Both were charged with possession. possession of stolen property for the Glock 27 handgun and prohibited possessor for the Glock 27 handgun and shotgun. Follow-up, offender Otero, AC number 250100, was transported to MCSO, booking number T468510.
Thank you, sir. Okay, so, Mr. Otero, what is thoughts about that?
Well, it's false about it when I said that I was in possession of it. Yes, I was getting a ride that day to go to see my professor and also go to my substance abuse classes. And Nicholas, he was the only one who didn't give me a ride. I know I should have hit the bus. I know I was wrong for that, getting in the car. But I also asked him if the car was stolen, which he can tell you on his police report that he told me that the car wasn't stolen. And he also told me that I brought nothing in the car with me when he picked me up. And he was taking full responsibility for what was in the car. So I asked him if there was anything in the car or if the car was stolen before I got in. So me just being in the wrong place at the wrong time, I know I shouldn't have, shouldn't have trusted him or whatever, but I was false about that, saying I was in possession of it.
Okay, sir. Alright, we're going to move on with this phase of the hearing, and during phase two, you'll have some more time to actually explain circumstances if you need to. Okay, sir?
Okay.
Alright, so now we're going to go to allegation number two. So, Mr. Westby, I noticed that the only difference between allegation two and allegation number one in the, two sentences, the last two sentences of it, and I think even the follow-up is exactly the same. So,
yeah, that's correct. So both allegation number one and number two are exactly the same.
Okay, sir. And the only difference is that one line, and it refers to the fact that the Glock 27 handgun was found in the car was also stolen property. So, Mr. Otero, basically, allegation number two is the same thing that deals with the gun, and you're stating that you were in possession of it, so you shouldn't be found in violation based on that. So, we're going to hearing before we talk about it a little bit more. Okay, sir?
Okay, sir.
Now, based on the admission of Mr. Otero for allegation number three, and information from the Department of Corrections and warrant number 201AW1877, I'm going to move to find that Mr. Otero was delinquent and as he had violated the terms of condition of supervision, and that he may have lapsed without lapsing in criminal aid or recovery.
Second.
Agreed. Motion by myself, seconded by Ms. Rittenhouse, agreed by Mr. Canales and Dr. Ray. Okay, so in phase two, we'll cover that a little bit more, but before we get started, Mr. Westby is going to give us some background information, so stay on the phone, we'll get right back to you, okay?
Okay, sir.
Mr. Westby?
On February 28, 2018, Mr. Otero was released from the Arizona Department of Corrections. He was arrested June 21, 2018, for expediting and felony charges of possession of a weapon by a prohibited person and theft. He was back in DOC custody on June 29, 2018, with a projected community supervision end date of June 30, 2019, 0 abstain days. Current conviction, 2010 misconduct involving weapons, 1 year. 2010 drug paraphernalia, 1 year. 2010 drive-by shooting, 9.5 years. He has no prior convictions. This is his first term in DOC. His CUIR score is a 4.4, mental health score a 1, substance abuse score a 3. There's no gang information noted, no prior terms of supervision. His disciplinary violations are moderate and lengthy, with drugs noted. After his return to DOC on July 11, 2018, he received a guilty major for positive or refusal to UA. When he refused to provide a urine sample and after being provided with 8 ounces of water within 2 hours to produce. Other arrests, 2002, offense in school zone, Arizona, juvenile probation. 2004, theft and means of transportation, Arizona, juvenile probation. 2006, burglary tools possession, Arizona, juvenile probation. 2006, theft and means of transportation, juvenile probation. 2006, marijuana violation, juvenile probation. 2006, dangerous drug violation, juvenile probation. 2006, drug paraphernalia, juvenile probation. 2008, parole violation, Arizona felony conviction, probation. His punitive risk score is a G6V7. I do have status of charges from Cedar Cross and Maynard dated August 9th, 2018. That states charges are pending for the weapons charge.
Thank you, sir. So, Mr. Wattrell, I know a little bit of your case supervision summary now. So, it looked like in February, at the end of February of 2018, you were moved to community supervision, and your approved placement was with your mother, Arith Archibald, and that was in Phoenix. So then, from June 11, 2018 through June 13, 2018, you were residing at another couple of the entry center located at 24601 North 29th Avenue in Phoenix, Arizona for a sanction. And I know their approved addresses. So during the time you were out, did you stay there the whole time?
No, I was only sanctioned for 48 hours. I went and turned myself in.
With your mother until you got sanctioned, you were back to the place you stayed? Okay.
Yes.
And then, so you were working through a temp agency, and had some placements through them?
Yes, American.
Okay. Well, that's commendable. And for programming, when you were first released, you were assigned a task for random your analysis, and you were assigned color navy. On 2/28/18, you celebrated using heroin on the 24/48 before you were released. UA results on the 28th of February 2018, and March 13th, 2018 were negative. So by that time, it got out of your system. When you failed to report the task for UA analysis on the 27th of April, and on the 30th of February, you dropped and never negative, but on May 8th, you were positive for alcohol. And after you test positive for alcohol, your schedule of CHE was modified from 1 to 2 sessions a week, and then as of June 21st, you failed to attend classes on 2 days, resulting in the removal from the roster on 2 separate occasions. Is that why you got sanctioned to stay at MRC, is because of not being successful at CHC?
No, she said she sanctioned me because of the UA for alcohol.
Oh, okay.
And then that's when they booked up 2 classes. And the reason I was unsuccessful the second time was because the day I got arrested was the day I had class. That's the only reason I was able to do with the car, because I needed a ride to class.
Okay.
Also to see my parole.
Okay, so since we talked about it a little bit, I'm just going to ask you a few questions about the car and gun and all that stuff. Your criminal history involves weapons more than once.
Yes.
Okay, in various forms. So I would assume that during all that time, you understand the way the law works about possession of and everything else. So you sitting in the driver's seat and that gun underneath, or you sitting in the passenger seat and the gun under the driver's seat, you probably have a good argument against a criminal charge of a concealed weapon and things like that, but the conditions of release are much different and everything, and as long as you have ready access to a weapon, it's a violation of your conditions of release. Okay, whether you get arrested for it or whatever, if they're in another room in a house that you live in and readily available to you, that's a violation of that condition of release. Okay, also in the condition of lease, it says you are not to have any property, have access to any property that has been illegally obtained, ever stolen property. So if we take that part of it out, the stolen property part of it, because maybe you didn't know, and maybe you, if you asked your friend if he stole the car before you got in, you had ample reason to believe that it was stolen, even when he said no. And, you know, by getting in, really, you violated your terms of release, because you know he's a convicted felon, you know you're not supposed to associate with him, and you also know that he took the guy stolen cars, or he wouldn't have asked you that.
I need to have it, everybody can get in their car.
Anybody that you have to ask before you get in the car they're in, if it's stolen, you have ample reason to believe that they might be in a stolen car. So you have a prisoner on community supervision, or an offender on community supervision, should know that the slightest of thing can get you thrown back inside. So this one kind of piled up on you, and I can believe that maybe you didn't really, when he said no, the car didn't stolen, and maybe you know him well, but you know him at a point where you think you can trust what he tells you.
Yes.
Okay, and you may not know the car without knowing the gun was underneath the seat, but that doesn't alleviate the other part of it, is you really weren't supposed to even talk to him, let alone get in the car with you. So,
Absolutely right, sir.
Okay, so, you know, and you have to understand that the conditions of release are not the statutes that you would get charged with by the police department if you arrested under those same things. Okay, I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions at this time. Okay, sir, we're near the end of your hearing. Pretty soon the board's going to go into discussion to make a determination of whether or not to revoke your community supervision or to reinstate you. But before we do that, would I give you an opportunity to make a final statement? Tell us anything else you think might be relevant to our decision. We just ask that you don't repeat the information we've already gone over. Okay, sir?
Okay. I would like to say that you're right about everything you just said, and I messed up. And for that, I am sorry, and I really think I can be a good asset to society. I was working. I have a family that loves me, a home that they provide for me. I made a mistake, and I would really like another chance.
Okay, thank you, sir. The board will be going into discussion. We'll be talking amongst ourselves to make a decision. You may think we're aggressing you, but we won't be. But stay on the phone, just remain silent, and you can hear everything we say in our discussion, and once we've made a decision, I'll get back to you, okay?
Okay.
All right, the board is now in discussion. Well, Mr. Otero made several bad choices all at the same time with this on his release, and I have a problem even considering when he turned to community supervision at this time. He gets in the car and then in probably at least 50% figured it was stolen. He gets in with a known felon that he knows he's not supposed to be around, who also has a history of weapons, I imagine. I don't know for sure, but the possibility. A lot of things in there that everybody said, do you have or did you do? And the person says, no. I think Mr. Otero understands that he made bad choices based on bad choices of his own, when he knew that he shouldn't have done that. So this time I don't see him as a good candidate for return to community supervision. I'm willing to listen to any discussion from my fellow board members. Okay. So based on all the information in warrant number 2018W1877, the testimony of Mr. O'Carroll, the information from Mr. Westby at the Department of Corrections, I'm going to move to the community supervision of Mr. O'Carroll. Having the delinquents violating terms and conditions of supervision and had acts or about to lapse into criminal range or company, where specifically it's associated with a known felon that has worked in a stolen car, so maybe he was in a stolen car, and he stole a gun that he had access to. So several violations of the law, they got arrested. And that's one more.
Second.
Agreed.
Agreed. Myself, seconded by Mr. Canales, agreed by Ms. Woodhouse, agreed by Dr. Wright. Okay, so the board is voted to revoke your community supervision at this time. You are scheduled for release on or about June 30th, 2019. In the meantime, you would hope that you would try to get some programming like AA and MA, because that can help your decision making, as well as help you if you do have a problem with alcohol and or drugs. We do wish you the best of luck. Thank you for appearing today. And would you
ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
I was talking to a sergeant in here the other day. He told me it shows that my sentence end date is November 16th of this year.
The information we have is that the end date is June 30th, 2019.
Okay.
However, if you think there was a discrepancy, or you know, if one of the seals have information indicates, or you have to give a time cop and ask for a detail. And we don't always get 100% accurate on the release dates. Okay, and things can change once you get reincarcerated as far as you want to count your days.
Okay.
Yeah, you have to say that at the time cop. And you know, maybe, you know, we would not be upset if that's your end date in November. Good luck to you, more luck to you that way, okay?
My appreciation. You guys have a good day.
Well, you too.
Okay. Oh, yeah, okay.
Okay, and I'll just say, would you please put the CO3 back on the phone?
Okay, let me call him.